I'm Brian Russo. Welcome back to Coastal Connection. Coming up later in the program, we'll speak with two local women who spearheaded a grassroots community effort to help those whose lives were impacted and devastated by the wrath of Hurricane Sandy. But first, we'll talk about other people in our community who find themselves in need of a job, and perhaps, in the case of a growing number of individuals and families here on the coast, a home. Worcester County is considered one of the more wealthy counties in the state of Maryland. But if you look closely at the numbers, you'll see that based on the number of retirees who relocate to this region, much of the wealth is based on reported income and not on wage. Simply put, much of the wealth here on the coast is brought here and not earned here. Couple that with the fact that unemployment numbers often skyrocket into the double digits in the off-season based on the seasonal nature of our coastal economy, and you'll start to see a clearer picture of what living near the beach is like for so many folks. Cost of living is high and food costs are rising across the board. But what happens when you lose your job or even your house and you have nowhere else to turn? Unfortunately, for some people here in our region, they have no other choice but to seek shelter outdoors, in the woods or anywhere else they can find it. This is their reality. They're homeless on the coast. I'm following a stranger named Kenny deep into the woods to the place he's called home for more than a year, a red tent where he keeps everything he owns in the world. We're on a recovery mission to pick up his painting and drywall tools.
Without my tools, I can't work.
It's a long and rugged walk, like a hike off the beaten path. We're less than 2 miles from the beach of Ocean City, the place where millions of tourists come to put their feet in the sand and sip orange crushes and make summertime memories with their kids. Kenny's almost 61, or 60 and a half, as he likes to say, and he's moving through the thicket and the briars like a guy half his age, leaping over marshy patches and fallen trees. We pass broken chairs and old T-shirts that hang over tree stumps. He says they serve as directional markers for moving through the forest in the pitch black of night. Kenny's a Vietnam vet and a painter by trade who's lived here on the Eastern Shore his entire life. He lost his job after the housing market crashed several years ago. It was a good job, somewhere in the $50,000 a year range. But since then, he's been living in the woods, up until about a week ago, when he literally left most of his possessions in this tent and he went to Diakonia, the local homeless shelter here in Worcester County. As we get close to the tent, he starts to walk faster. Something's wrong, and I quickly notice that the tent has fallen. My first thoughts is that the tent just didn't make it through Hurricane Sandy.
So you don't think it blew down the storm?
No. I spent storm in it.
You spent Hurricane Sandy in this thing?
Yes. I spent Hurricane Sandy in just what you see, and it was standing up, because I didn't go into Diakonia last Thursday.
Wow. How much, I mean, we just went around something that had a bunch of standing water. I mean, was there water all around you? Did this flood?
Right there, yes. As you see those two other tents over there that you couldn't see? Somebody cut this down.
Kenny starts rummaging through the tent to see if anything's been taken. There's a half dozen sleeping bags, all the clothes he owns, a bag full of old bills and paperwork, and a knapsack. The floor of the tent has 2 inches of foam for insulation. He says he scored them from an abandoned boat nearby. There's lanterns and empty iced tea and Mountain Dew bottles everywhere. There's stacks of back issues of local newspapers he says he scours for job postings each week. Kenny's visibly upset. The home that made it through Hurricane Sandy has since been slashed to threads by vandals.
You know, and I pretty well know the kids that done it. They're young boys and stuff. I'd like to put them in the place for a little while. Mom and Dad put them out for a month, make them live without any money in their hands. They learned to leave. I didn't bother nobody. If something happens, at least I could have come back to it.
Kenny pulls a tarp over the entire tent. He grabs a few things, including his painting and drywall tools. He's carried them from campsite to campsite for the past few years. And then we abandon the tent and take the long walk back to the car. We leave a different way, though, walking out of the woods and into a clearing. It's a youth soccer field. As we walk, I ask him how much time a homeless person spends trying to better their situation, and how much of their time is spent just purely trying to survive.
You're always trying to live, get washed up, catch a shower, catch some food, and when you weren't busy doing that, well, while you were doing that part of it, you also hustled for a job, panhandled, whatever you could do. And there's a lot of restaurants around here that throw away more good food than us boys could afford to buy. We knew what time they throwed out the chicken at Phillips's and this, that, and the other. And they throwed it out in plastic bags. We grab it and eat it.
I guess if you think of it that way, I mean, I've worked in restaurants before. I know that how much food is thrown away. I mean, was that a big part of your diet?
Yes.
How many people do you think are on the brink of being where you just were in this area?
A lot more than really realizes it. I ask everybody out there that hears this statement, if you lose your job, how much savings have you got to get you through? That's pay your mortgage, pay your car payment, pay your rent, whatever. If you ain't got a couple, if it's just a couple of $1,000, you would in 90 days of being homeless.
Our numbers have quadrupled.
That's Claudia Nagel. She's the executive director of Diakonia, the lone homeless shelter here in Worcester County. The waiting list for a bed at their emergency and transitional housing shelter is several months long. She says it was almost pure luck that Kenny got a bed last week. And their food pantry is now so vitally important to this tourist region with a fragile seasonal economy that they've seen folks who used to donate a substantial amount of food now standing in line in need of a meal.
It is really quite startling when you see the numbers of people that we're looking at. Last week, we distributed over 600 bags of food to individuals and families.
So the need or the demand is growing since the recession hit, while the supplies are dwindling. But that's not the only thing that's dwindling. So is the money.
2 years prior to this, we had some federal assistance that we were able to offer to individuals and families who were on the who were at risk of losing their housing, and we had some discretionary funds that we were able to pay back rent or utilities that would help to keep them in their homes. That's gone away. We're waiting for some funding from the state level right now, but the funds are drastically reduced. 2 years ago, we had $70,000. This year, we have $25,000. And the funds have not been released yet, and we could distribute those funds to the community very quickly. I would hazard a guess to say that $25,000 will help roughly 25 households to stay housed, and we turn away 80 to 100 households a month. For our emergency housing.
Back in my car, Kenny takes me from one of his old campsites to another one nearby. He spent almost 18 months at this next one. But before we went there, Kenny wanted to show me some of his painting work that he's done here in the region. See, Kenny doesn't define himself as a homeless person. He's just an out-of-work painter trying to play the hand that he's been dealt. He led me to one of the ritziest neighborhoods in Worcester County. The waterfront Martha's Landing neighborhood. You know those gigantic multi-million dollar mansions you see when you're coming across the Route 50 bridge in and out of Ocean City? Yeah, that's them. Kenny painted a few of them, and as he described his work to me, I realized that there might be something to a theory that I've heard so many people talk about here on the coast, that the divide between the so-called haves and have-nots is unbelievably vast.
To the best of my recollection, there is 32 different colors in it. And the bottom floor is garage and sign rooms and this, that, and the other. It has an elevator in it. As you go to the second floor that goes to the third floor, has a staircase that is custom stained and has 584 pickets. I remember. I personally did them. The gentleman and the lady at the home, at 72 shades of mid-black coloring, neither one suited them, so it was mixed together of two colors. It's mahogany and burnt red auburn, and they are mid-black colors, custom blended to match their one set, two sets, three sets of French doors on the second floor, and the staircase going up and turning to an opening in the third floor ceiling that goes four stories. Yes, it's a multi-million dollar affair. That is one home here in West Ocean City that I have done, plus three others in the same development.
Yeah.
And that was, again, Delmarva Drive, all paint and acoustics.
When you were doing that job, did you ever think at any moment that it was just excess, that they were, you know, just being frivolous with the luxuries because they could. I mean, did that bother you at all?
No, not at that time. I look back on some of it today. Yes, maybe. But if you can afford it, do it. Why not?
See, homelessness doesn't just affect people who ruin their lives with drugs or alcohol or couldn't hold a job. It affects normal people, people like Kenny, who is a casualty of the housing crisis. But for him, when there were no more houses left to paint, he found himself without a house of his own.
It stopped within 6 months down here. There's still units right out here on US 50, right in front of Mickey Finn's. There was 25 or 26 of them built, and five of them's been sold. There's still $20 million townhouses sitting there, and I know somebody's paying interest on them.
And were there people like that worked with you or alongside you or people that you know in the industry that were painters or drywallers that have found themselves in the same sort of situation as you?
They might not have been right down to homeless, but they've lost cars, homes, more units that I helped build and paint. The Ocean Villages, I worked on several of them. But yes, I knew men that had nice cars and nice pickups, and they lost them because they lost their job. They were making anywhere from $12.50 an hour with taxes to $18, $19 an hour, and it went boom.
Now, it should be noted that Kenny has had his spells with addiction and self-inflicted money troubles. He's the first to admit that. But he says it's all in the past. He says his story is not a tragedy, even one of hard luck. It's one of survival.
I have a stepdaughter and a daughter, and I have a grandchild that I've seen twice in my life, and she's 4 years old because I don't have money to go. Yeah. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts. Well, everybody says, well, maybe he's a drug addict, an alcoholic. Been there, done that. Yes, I have. Most of my problems come from marriages. I've been through three homes. Not that I got drunk and lost them. One thing this man will not tolerate, his first home, he caught his wife in bed with another man. Second home, the same story. Third home, I didn't marry that woman. I had tax problems, still have tax problems, so I put it all in her name. She died of breast cancer, and her family took it.
Kenny signals for me to pull off into a shopping complex in West Ocean City. He says we're here. He lived in the woods behind this complex for more than 18 months. As we walked around the building and into the woods, I asked him if anyone knew that he was there for all that time.
Certainly they knew we were here. I'll not name names, but sometimes we're just right here on the corner. They give us food and let us get water to wash up and this, that, and the other. A certain water treatment plant right here. He always had the best water in Ocean City, folks. You find the advertisement. He even left us a walkway through here that we're going through right now, and we are going into one of the areas where me and some other people stayed. A clear path cut in here, and one of my friends winded up dying here.
I see the caution tape. Tell me that story.
That's from, I'll call him Smitty. He had intentions to have seizures, and he had a seizure back here by himself and died. You can see our bicycles, a stone camp par with grades built here. But after the death, we were run out of here. Smitty was here by himself when it happened.
So how many guys were living back here?
Right here at that time, there was always three of us. Sometimes a guy or two would come and go because we had an extra tent. We help our own out. If you're out there in the rain, you're broke. A tent is at least dry.
Yeah.
It gives you a windbreak and so forth. As you see, there's still stuff we've left hanging in the trees, some old blankets.
Yeah, old blankets, and there's old bikes and thermoses.
Gas cylinder when we had money so we could do a little cooking without a campfire. It's hard to get a campfire lit when every piece of wood is soaking wet, and you can also see right there, and somebody give us that. It's hardwood flooring. It's oak, and it was dry, and we kept it dry. You could get it lit easier than branches and logs.
So tell me about a usual, you know, night here, or like, what did you have for dinner, and you know, how cold did it get?
Well, in the summertime, you're great, but last winter was easy. The winter that it snowed so much, if you didn't have at least 4 or 5 quilts in a sleeping bag and a way to get it up off the wet ground, you were going to freeze. Gary lost a toe to frostbite back here. He was 32. I'm 61. Anybody that camps, you think about it. Yeah, we use good tents if we can get our money on them. Ozark Mountain. They're $100 for a small one, and you keep a canvas tied over top of that, and you wrap canvas around it to stop the wind. You got the old military blankets. You put them to keep the moisture out, because if you don't, you're going to freeze. You never undressed. You got in jeans, coats, snowsuits, you get your hands on them, or this, that, and the other, and you got in four or five blankets, and you covered up head and all, or your ears froze.
Show me where you had your tent.
That's my cooler. Without lifting that up, what did I tell you I was? I was a painter. Don't they look like drop cloths?
Yeah, you got drop cloths and
anything we could do.
Old shoes and boots.
Well, just like I said, I'm a good painter. There's tools that cost $40 and stuff a piece that is ruined because I got no place to put them and keep them. There were drop cloths from runners and painters. There's that cooler. Without opening it, I tell you there's food in it, spices and stuff, and I haven't, but now I'll open it. If I wasn't there.
Spices and old stuff. I mean, granted, there's a lot of rainwater in there now.
But
you still got to have your old bay, right?
Huh?
You still got to have the old bay.
Well, we can catch crabs for free.
That's true. But when the weather got really cold, Kenny says the three men in this camp would huddle up together in one tent, just trying to survive through the night.
There's been many nights I prayed not to wake up. God, take my soul. Why am I still here? I guess the man's got a cause for this, man.
Yeah.
He's had a plan for me since I was a little boy. I've been broke up, crushed up. Jawbones broke three times, left ankle and heel crushed. It's polymer plastic, left knee artificial, both hands crushed, artificial ligaments and this, that, and the other. If the man had wanted me dead, I'd give him more opportunities than any person should have ever lived to tell. So I ain't going to say it's going to get better. It can't get much worse. We had a name for this place we're standing in. Today's Veterans Day. I took it from somewhere else. This is Hobo Woods, right outside Quang Trong, Vietnam. It was also Hobo Woods, 2nd Marine Corps Division.
And for this Vietnam vet, he wants to get back to work. He's been told he's too old or too skilled. Sometimes he can't fill out online applications because he obviously doesn't have a computer. He can't get food stamps either without an actual address. This is the part that wears on Kenny the most. He says more so than the elements ever did.
I'm capable of working. I'm a good painter and drywaller, but like I said, when you get turned down for a dishwasher's job, minimum wage, it hurts your pride. Even here, yeah, you hear a tear in my eye, in my heart. I'm still capable of working. I want to work. Somebody give me a break.
And so Kenny carries on, with his belongings stuffed in a tent deep in the woods and his tools slung over his back, as he continues to live like a painter, just waiting on the next job. Back on the corner. To learn more about how you can help Kenny or anyone that finds themselves homeless here on the coast, click to our website, wamucoast.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City. I'm Brian Russo, and we'll be right back.